Welcome to Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace as we move forward here on this Wednesday afternoon. People getting back into the flow, post-holiday, pre-New Year's. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you from Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators getting back in the flow tonight as they take on a very tough opponent in the Carolina Hurricanes. We'll have our coverage starting at 6 o'clock with Max Hurst and company as the Predators had the rematch from a great game that took place in Raleigh not long ago. Nashville won it 6-5 in overtime. It was just a great, entertaining game. So we'll see what happens tonight. And, of course, the teams have been off for the last 3 days. No gatherings, nothing, not even on the night before the game. So Carolina flying here this morning. They should be here by now. And they practiced together for the first time today. The Predators gathered this morning for their morning skate. So we will have more on that game a little bit later this hour. But as the promo told you, Jonathan Hutton is with us to talk a little Titans, and we'll see. Hopefully we'll be able to hear from Mike Vrabel a little bit later in the hour as they get ready to hit the field again with 2 games to go in the season. Hut, what's going on?
Willie, good to hear from you, man, and hope things are well on your end. Happy New Year to you. And, yeah, Vrabel's scheduled to speak at 12:15, so I just let Nick know that. They moved him back a few minutes.
Yeah, so we'll try to carry that. So let's try to cover some ground in a short period of time. So,
sure.
Hut, one of my overviewing thoughts here, and this it's tough because, look, you certainly would take any win that you can get, but the next best thing to me is what's been happening to the Titans team here, where they are competing, they're playing for their coach. Some of the young guys, and I'll name Chika Conquo right off the top of my head, are progressing. Harold Landry's playing well. You're seeing some positives, but they also are improving their draft position. So that's not the worst thing in the world. But give me your thoughts on coming out of the Seattle game where, again, they're so close to winning, but they come up short.
Yeah, and the inconsistencies continue too, Willie. You know, the offense, the way they take the sacks at the end with Tannehill, it's just bizarre that the mistakes continue to happen in this manner. I will say, though, I'm not the person who roots for losses in order to improve draft order. This team is in desperate need of the best possible player on the board. And right now, they have the 7th overall selection after week 16. So they're behind the Chargers, behind the Giants, the Patriots, and there's a few others, including Chicago, Arizona, and I believe the Commanders, that have a worse record. But the 5-10 teams are the Giants, Chargers, and the Tennessee Titans. I view that as a great thing going into the draft, but I do think, Willie and Mace, this is a team that could go winless in the AFC South. This is at this AFC South, and that is – that is saying something, given the state of the division and the fact that they went into last offseason believing that they were competing to get back to the top of the division.
Is it shocking to you what has happened in this division? I mean, I know we're all very surprised at where the Colts and the Texans are, but the slippage from the Jaguars is especially interesting, especially based on how they sort of came out of nowhere and did this to the Titans last year. But I'm stunned at what's happened with Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, the Titans could play spoiler in some way with what they have left. Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence has been inconsistent. And instead of touchdowns, they have turnovers. And he's banged up now. He's got a shoulder issue. Week prior, he was in left the game due to a concussion, concussion protocol. That's not great news for a Jaguars team that at one point was sitting in the number one overall seed halfway through the season. And while they're talented, they're extremely inconsistent when it comes to pushing the ball past midfield and actually into the red zone. They turned it over a lot. And that inconsistency has allowed Houston to hang around without C.J. Stroud, but he's back on the practice field today. So Titans will match up with both of them, starting with Houston. And while I'm not expecting the Titans to win these games, quite frankly, if they do, if they have a Miami-like performance, they'll end up ruining postseason hopes for one of these teams.
Now, Hutt, this offense didn't look actually it looked like it took a step back last week. It seemed like they couldn't generate anything down the field. They couldn't push the ball down the field. It seemed like Tannehill was a little bit gun shy in a sense. It seemed like to me he had taken so many hits that I think he was more aware of the pocket and getting the ball away quickly as opposed to trying to push the ball down the field. And that's what we saw from Will Levis, a guy that can push the ball down the field, which changes his offense dramatically. With that being said, from what you've seen of Ryan Tannehill last game, do you give him an opportunity to redeem himself, or do you throw Malik Willis in there?
I go back to Levis.
If Levis can't play.
Yeah, I'm going back with Tannehill.
Okay.
I mean, the fact I'm surprised that he played, Mace. Mm-hmm. We talked about this last week, and then Vrabel announced that he was going to be taking the number one reps. I mean, going into the offseason, he wants to be healthy, right? I mean, this is not the offensive line to play behind if you want to do that, and you know you're not going to return. You know, all signs point to that. I'm surprised that whenever he met with Vrabel, I'm sure they discussed it, and he's a team first guy. He did that last year. I just sometimes the business meets the opportunity to get back in, and maybe it's just 1 week. Maybe Levis is back in, but I mean he's another snap away from being back in going into week 18. I think they just turned to Tannehill again, and I say that because I mean Mace they wouldn't have given him those reps last week if they wanted to take a look at Malik Willis, knowing that it could possibly be just 1 week with Will Levis. But I think it's very important that Levis get back to practice, get these reps, and have a chance to play, given the idea in theory that he's able to progress some more going into the offseason where, I mean, they're moving forward with him, and if he can go, he's going to start for the Titans on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this team and you know, the things they haven't been able to do this season. And then it seemed like this past game, you know, it was a season that sort of culminated into what happened last week. Because I almost felt sorry for them.
Really?
Hutt, from this standpoint. Because they played the type of game that, you know, it wasn't great, but it was good. It was a good game, and you saw what they were trying to do. But for whatever reason, they couldn't pull the game out. It seemed like they did the things they were supposed to do, at least from a defensive standpoint, and at times offensively. Yep. But then when they needed the big stops, they couldn't get them. And when they lost that game, you know what, Hutt? I watched one of the players, DK Metcalf, on the bench. And he went to the bench after scoring a touchdown. He sat down on the bench, and you could just see it in his face like, I really don't – like, I just don't have no energy. You know, it seemed like he didn't have the energy to play the game or the jet lag going from Washington coming to here. And my thing is, if he feels like that, there are a lot of other guys on his team that feel like that. Why couldn't you take advantage of that, Tennessee Titans?
The difference is DK Metcalf is I would refer to as a thoroughbred, and the Titans have the depth issues among the worst in the NFL.
They're low on thoroughbreds,
yeah,
for sure. That's why the draft position to me is something like you said, D-Mace, you want your team to compete. Mm-hmm. The expectation is to win. You want your young players to say, you know, we're still good enough to beat and spoil a team from getting to the playoffs. But on the other side, like. They need thoroughbreds. They're so low on them. Like, I felt bad for Avery. Will go out there and play. He finds a way to get in there, but he's a guy clearly, Hutt, you could see they were going after him, right?
Yeah.
He's not a thoroughbred. He's a guy that's fighting
to
stay in the lead.
He's a special teamer that's a spot duty, right? And at best. And yeah, I mean, it takes one play against that defense. Bend don't break, and it's going to break unless the offense is putting up points. And the offense is struggling. It has all season. It started in week one. It's not just a depth issue. It's a talent issue. And it's just everything has to be on some trick play, some special play. Mm-hmm. For instance, the touchdown pass from Henry. Like it's got to come off of that instead of just their offense. And it was on a day, Mace, you're right. I mean, frustration, it's on a day where they're running the football well. Mm-hmm. We're seeing things from Spears. That DeAndre Hopkins is he's the most consistent player on offense. I mean, there are signs of, okay, this is a Titans team doing what they want to do, coming off a week where Vrabel said we're going to stick with the run because, well, we need to establish the run. We're going to do that. There were positives, but so many head scratchers and so much frustration given the fact that it continues to be a lot of penalties. And on defense, bend don't break, and they're to a point where their depth is really hurting them and it has all year.
So where do you see this team headed into the offseason? Because, listen, these next two games, I mean, they're going to play hard these next two games. And one in particular, the Houston game, you know they're going to play hard that yep. game. But where do you see this team heading into the offseason? Beside the offensive line, you can name the offensive line, where do you think they should go first? Should they try to rebuild the offensive line? And when I say rebuild, Hud, I don't mean like all four guys, because Peter's going to be there no matter what. But when I say rebuild, I mean get them a tackle, get you a center,
yep.
and then work out that right side. I think the right side will be fine once, you know, Brunsko bring him back. Nicholas, see what he can do. But I think they need to solidify that left side of the offensive line first.
They need to have the mentality, D-Mace, of what we saw from Rustin Webster when he had Roos. Or was it Reinfeldt? He had Roos. Mm-hmm. And then they end up drafting Taylor Lewan anyway, a year early. Like, you can't have enough tackles, you know. And I'm loading up at that spot. They have to make up for the years lost for the two picks that have been swings and misses with Isaiah Wilson and Dylan Radins. So make up for lost time and use your high pick to solidify the left side and stop having the issues that they've had. They have to hit a homer with that decision. And I think they've got to go in the veteran route too. And I think they're also going to address corner. I think they took money away from safety to address the cornerback position this offseason.
Well, I thought a lot about the corner position as they were going down the field there, knowing that right now the writing's on the wall for Fulton. He clearly yep. is not going to be back, so they are low in numbers there, so add that to the list. Nick, back at the studio, just give us the signal. We'll go straight to Mike Vrabel when he starts. He still is not at the podium, but here's the other thing. We're looking at the positives. Let's give a quick one to Chigakonkwo. He really does now look more and more comfortable each week. And so, to me, that's something that hopefully you can hang your hat on for the future.
Well, and we discussed it, Willie. It looked like he just had the yips, right? Earlier this year, we just couldn't catch the football for whatever reason. We saw that in college where he was fine doing that. They brought him in to be that player. And I think he's just kind of busted out of his slump. I like the playmaker that he can be. It's time for him to take a huge step. And he's got to be one of the players that they have to count on. Treylon Burks and Chigakonkwo are going to be back. They have to count on them one way or the other based on their investment. I like what we've seen in the second half of the season. But now it's got to all come together and be the full season type performance. They haven't put that together with their draft picks recently. Not since Jeffrey Simmons. So we've seen it from Tajay Spears. That's a great sign moving forward, but it's few and far between. And Chigakonkwo's got to be the tight end base. He's got to be the rock for them at that spot, because you can't address every position in the rebuild. He's got to already be a part of the rebuild, the reload. And I like the progression. Now let's see the consistency. Let's see him stack this.
Okay, Hutt, hang in there, and thanks a lot for joining us. Mike Vrabel has taken the podium, so let's go over there and hear from the Titans head coach.
All right.